listening to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Direct Message with A Creative DC. We are live on Full Service Radio, broadcasting from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. You can listen in weekly every Wednesday at 1 p.m. and anytime at fullserviceradio.org. We have a bunch of episodes now to catch up on. This weekly podcast is a dedicated dive into the A Creative DC hashtag feed. It's time spent with the people and projects who populate this city digitally and IRL, and I am your host, Morgan West. I'm founder and director of the A Creative DC Project. You may have seen us on Instagram or on Twitter at @acreativeDC, and we have a nearly 1 million strong hashtag feed across social that's filled with events and visuals and art and design. But most importantly, the A Creative DC hashtag feed is filled with perspective on this city. So this is episode 9 of Direct Message on Full Service Radio. We are in the studio today with, there is just one word, it is incomparable, the incomparable Diane Holton. Diane, welcome. Hi.
Hi.
She's here. Diane is a force in the DC design community. She is deputy art director at AARP, which is the American Association of Retired Persons. And she's spent 10 plus years on the board of AIGA's Washington, DC chapter.
Woo!
She currently serves on the diversity and inclusion task force there. And for those of us who aren't in and of the design world, AIGA is the American Institute of Graphic Arts. And the DC chapter, even if you're not like fully in the design world, which I don't consider myself to be, but I am like Liar. So I'm so into what AIGA DC does, because they really are a resource for the creative community at large. And I think, you know, especially in DC, they do a really good job of kind of, you know, the creative community here is, it includes everyone, and design includes everyone. So I'm really excited to talk about that. But frankly, I feel like we could spend an entire episode just on those two projects, AARP and AIGA. But wait for it. There is so much more to talk about. So we're going to dive into so much today with Diane. She has a huge announcement this week and an event this weekend at Steadfast Supply. We're going to learn all about that. She also has a daily digits project, which is like kind of the best thing on the internet, frankly. It just hit 1,000 posts on her Instagram. She's at Diane Holton. That's DianHolton. So we're going to dive into that. And as if that were not enough of kind of a chapter listing, she also has another project in the works with a Chicago Design Museum and like probably some more stuff too that we're going to get into today. So hi again.
Hi.
So glad you're here.
Same.
Thanks for making time, because you obviously are like the busiest person in Washington, D.C.
Next to you. Actually,
I am.
We're part of the team too much.
Team too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real. That's a good thing, and that honestly, it makes you a really excellent podcast guest
because you can relate. Huh?
Well, just because you've just got, there's just a wealth to talk about. So I think we have some like pretty serious things to talk about today. I'm looking at some sneakers ahead of me. That's a little foreshadowing, but I want to spend a little bit of time on, you know, kind of, I was tripping over the alphabet soup, but it's like, you've got a lot of amazing kind of letters that we talked about. So I want to talk about your day job. I want to talk about your main extracurricular.
Yep.
So let's start with AARP.
Okay. So AARP, let's see, I'm an editorial designer for AARP, and my task or my responsibility kind of span the market here, or the editorial space. I would say most half of my job is probably designing for AARP, the magazine, which has 38 million readers nationwide. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
If you think about 118 million people are over 50, 38 million of those are AARP members.
Wow.
And readers. So it's kind of awesome.
That's unbelievable.
That's
a lot of reach, Diane.
It's a lot of reach. So we
it's a lot of responsibility.
And we don't take that lightly. So yeah. Everything is purposeful, intentional. We realize that, you know, people are constantly looking at the content, are constantly using the pieces that are serviceable, and that we need to make sure that, you know, we have all I's dotted and T's crossed. Mm-hmm. We come out six times a year, and we actually version those issues, each issue by age, surprisingly. So wow. People, I would love to talk to people and show people how they can tell if they have an issue that is 50 to 59, or an issue that's 60 to 69, or an issue that's 70 plus. I'm not going to tell you how. You have to see me and talk to me in person, and I will show you. There's a little Easter egg,
so to speak.
But so 38 million. It's kind of crazy. Six times a year. Most of the covers are celebrity, but it's not. Even though it's lifestyle and very general, there's a lot of service. I mean, we talk about Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and health and wellness. I mean, we're a little kind of all over the map, and it's great. And I think I think most of the people that I've run to have been pretty satisfied with it. People that are part of the demographic, but also people who are under. People who pick it up because it's in the doctor's office or the dentist's office, or their parent or their grandparent has it, and they kind of leaf through and they realize, oh my gosh, a lot of this is preventative. Like, if I do this now, that will help me in the future, help me when I get to, you know, 50 or 55 or 60.
That's fascinating.
We also have a tendency to not try to make people look cooler than they are, but but actually, like, showcase people who are embracing aging. And that's really exciting to see these people who are, you know, in their 60s and 70s living their best life, literally. Not to steal that from Oprah, but
she gave it to us,
right? To share
because she gave it to us because we needed it.
If she could only give me like cupcakes and some bacon on a regular basis. But aside from that, we like to highlight people who are doing great things and who are also looking and feeling good and literally living their best life. So we're also trying to remove the stigma that it is that the publication or AARP is really for old, crippled, you know, people who don't have any access. We want people to know that we're here and we have a lot of services that people could benefit from.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, you know, what your issue or concern is, we're here for you.
That's amazing. It's interesting. Two things I found really interesting. One, the term services,
mm-hmm.
But then also the fact that, you know, a lot, you can read it as a younger person or mm-hmm. a person who's not retired and still kind of get,
absolutely,
you know, it's still serving kind of a similar purpose.
Absolutely.
But I think that's a really good kind of segue into let's call it the extracurricular, because, you know, when you think about, you're designing not only for an age span of what, like 50 to 80 or like more.
Actually, pause on that.
Yeah.
So I took on another project at work. Like, I don't have anything else to do. I also lead the creative for thegirlfriend.com, which is a new vertical, a new e-newsletter that came out last July. It has about 115,000 subscribers, thereabouts. But it is an e-newsletter that's geared towards the 40 plus. So it's 40 to to 45.
So thegirlfriend.com.
Thegirlfriend.com.
I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it comes out every Thursday. And that is mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy, right? I know. AARP is always coming up with cool things.
It's amazing.
New things.
That's so much content.
It's a lot of content, and it's a lot of assigning.
Yeah.
It's a lot of illustration, a lot of photography. It's everything. But it's been great. It's been fruitful. It just causes me to have to burn the candles literally at both ends.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no like, oh, we're going to light this candle on one side just right now, and we'll light the other side later. No. Candles are always burning at both ends. Yeah.
Truly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started off with this, but Diane, you're a force. I mean, I don't even know how you get like your work stuff done.
I'm like you. We don't sleep. And I, you know, what's funny, because there's this running joke within AIGA with a couple of people, and I'm going to go ahead and shout them out, Antonio Acala and Sam Shelton, who refuse to believe that I actually have a space I live at. Like, I actually have an apartment or a condo or a house. They believe I live on the streets and that I just take up residency in different places. So, for instance, when I stayed at the line, they're like, oh, you, okay, yeah, you live there. Or when I'm talking about, like, going to a storage unit, they're like, oh, no, you really live there. So
it's not a bad theory.
It really is not. I mean, let's think about it.
I mean, you look amazing. I've known you for years, and you haven't aged. So I'm going to go with the vampire theory. That's what I'm going with.
Well, so touche, lady. No touche. Touche. But we both change our hair.
This is perfect. Let's AIJ this because so it's an even wider net that you're casting with AARP, right? So you're talking to people who are in their 40s all the way up through like 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. So that puts you in a really good place. That alone to kind of be part of this diversity and inclusion task force. So let's talk about, because I didn't do a great job of describing what AIGA does.
I'll take it from here.
Help me.
Absolutely. So we actually changed the acronym from the American Institute of Graphic Arts to the Professional Association of Design, just to be more inclusive.
Love it.
Right?
There you go.
And that way we can embrace not just graphic designers, but illustrators and animators and people who are working in the UX space or digital, some sort of digital space. And so that was the organization's way of just, again, being more inclusive. I've been on the board with AIGA, the Washington, D.C. chapter for a little over 10 years.
That's a huge accomplishment and a lot of time.
I feel really old, though. The kids make me feel old every time. Every time we have like a meeting with outside people and, you know, people that go around the room and say how long they've been affiliated. But that's okay. I'm going to own it because our chapter administrator, Dara, has been there a little longer than I am. And, you know, and she's great and fabulous. And I wish she was present so you can meet her as well. Yeah, AIGA has been a tremendous resource for me, I do a lot of work with the community through AIGA, but personally, I feel as though they've really helped me with my career. I've always been an editorial designer. I've worked at newspapers and now work at AARP. It was very siloed in my craft and my discipline. And what AIGA did for me was expose me to these other disciplines and all the agencies and the personalities and the creatives that lie in that space. AIGA has like 72 chapters across the country. And so by being affiliated with them as a volunteer first and then as a board member has allowed me to kind of infiltrate some of these other spaces and learn about the other creatives. And that's so important, I think, as you design, no matter what your platform is, whether it's architecture, editorial, so on and so forth, it's always good to know other creatives. It's always good to be familiar with other works.
Absolutely.
So that can be part of, that could be maybe the basis or the reference for some of the stuff that you're working on. So AIGA has helped me in that way, just familiarizing myself with who else is out there beyond my little bubble, right?
It is. And so I think that's absolutely what we should talk about next, actually, is kind of the multidisciplinary aspect of your work, because you're not just working print, you're not just working online, you're designing tangible things in front of us, right? But really quickly, before we sign off of AIGA, please follow them on Twitter. It's AIGADC on Twitter. And like when I tell you they have robust programming, like I'm not quite doing them justice, but it is. And again, like you don't necessarily have to be like, yes, I'm in the design world. We're all in the design world. But this is just like a wonderful place to go and meet people. It sounds like not only in DC, but kind of nationwide.
Absolutely. And if you follow AIGA.org, then you'll get the national presence and you'll see what we're doing nationally and internationally. And my work here, I mean, most of the work that I've done has been primarily in the DC metro area. But my relationship with national, you know, goes beyond that, from the national conference, diversity inclusion there, and being on the task force there, supporting in the guidance sector has been helpful, not just to, again, the DC metro community, but nationally, you know, just trying to put together some infrastructure to help designers or creatives, as I like to say, because like you said, a lot of people are multidisciplinary, be more inclusive and more intentional about the things that they're doing, the things that they're saying, and what they're putting out.
It's incredible. So guys, if you're just joining us, we're here in the studio with Diane Holton. So she's a designer and so much more. She is here today because, well, for a lot of reasons, because obviously she's like an amazing guest and she just needed to be here. But what great timing that she is actually tomorrow, releasing a sneaker collection. So this is like, that's like a big fat sentence, like you're releasing a sneaker collection.
Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning of this.
Okay.
First of all, what is it called?
Okay. So the company that I'm working with is called Sneaker Lab.
Sneaker Lab.
Mm-hmm. Sneaker Lab. And they approached me and asked if I would be part of five designers that came out with Oh man, I'm like tongue tied. I can't. This is the first time I'm actually talking about it, so I'm a little like kind of
workshopping it here. I yeah, love it.
We are, but I was asked to select. I was asked to select. They selected me to be one of their five designers to create a limited edition line, a capsule collection that debuts tomorrow.
Unbelievable.
We all had to, we're all kind of scattered throughout the United States. I do not know the other women, but I did learn that they're women, which is even awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why it's debuting tomorrow is it's because it's Women's International Day. So it's a great way to kind of kick off that day. And so every woman had to, or every creative and woman, creative woman had to come up with a collection, and then reference their inspiration. So I remember the night that I got the email that was, oh my gosh, you've been accepted and we want to, we want to, invite you to participate in this, this, capsule collection. I was like, Oh my God, this is happening. Really? Oh, this is crazy. I can't believe it. Because I had seen, there was a woman that I follow. She's the first female creative director, or was the first female creative director for Elle magazine last year. And she did this exact same capsule.
Wow.
And I was so smitten with her collection, but I didn't have my coins together, so I didn't get anything. Plus, I was looking at my current sneaker connection. I was like, oh, well, I got that colorway and kind of got something kind of similar to that, so maybe I shouldn't do that. But at any rate, I was familiar with it through her. And so when they reached out, I was like, oh my gosh, is this happening? I'm going to be, oh my gosh, I'm following in the footsteps of Ruba. This is literally and figuratively. Right? Exactly.
It's amazing.
So then I called the first person I reached out to, I think was one of two people. Now it's a little bit of a blur. I think I reached out to Nicole Crowder first and was like, who's another local.
Yes.
She's my travel buddy, and you'll hear about her shortly. To be like, oh my God, this is happening. This is crazy. I can't believe it. And then I reached out to my dad, also known as Big Walt, and my mom to say, oh my gosh, I think this is happening. I think I'm designing sneakers. And my dad, who is former military, was like, oh, that's great. He was excited, but then he hit me with the asterisk that you don't see.
dadsterisk.
Exactly. That's like, okay, let's really talk about this.
Aww.
And like what that means and all.
That's
and I was
a
like,
great reaction though. Were you pumped on it? Or were you like, give me a minute, man?
I was like, give me a minute. Can we just bask in this for a second? And this was like before, like I was told I had to commit. I mean, they asked me to commit within a couple of days. It was very fast. Yeah. And I was like, can we just bask in this? Can I just get my shine on? And he was like, let's talk about this. Like, let's really. I was like, man, dude, you know how to just like, you're a killjoy. But in any way.
Hashtag dad stuff.
Right? Who's actually having a birthday today. So happy birthday, Big Walt.
Happy birthday, Big Walt.
And Morgan has met him, which is pretty awesome.
He was so kind.
He's a nice guy. At times, in his latter part of his retirement, he's nice. Can't say that in the beginning. Okay.
But so he served as, and really kind of like your family served as inspiration for this collection. And also one thing we haven't said yet is like, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at two out of the three shoes of the collection that Diane has designed. And I mean, I'm looking at a Nike swoosh. Like that should not go without saying.
Oh, yes.
Saying.
Okay.
It's Nike.
Let me explain that. So Sneaker Lab is a partner of Nike. And the goal here was for them to bring on five creatives to reinterpret the Nike shoes. So I was given seven designs to choose from. And after some consultations with a couple of people, whittled them down to Air Force One, Air Max, and the Nike Presto.
That's amazing.
And
we buried the lead.
Oh yeah,
it's a Nike collab.
Where's my music? Where's that music? Where's the, like the something
air horn?
There it is. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, full service.
Thank you, Jack.
He came through. So yes, it's a Nike. They're Nike shoes, and they're inspired by my family, my dad, and my brother. Specifically, my dad was career military. He was a colonel in the U.S. Army. He was also a ranger, a paratrooper. He was everything. He was a little bit of a bully, I'm not going to lie. He was that guy that you didn't want to meet on the street, not at night, not during the day either. He was infantry, 82nd Airborne. And I mean, I look back and I'm like, I mean, I look back at when I was growing up and I thought, my dad is so strict. He's so bossy. And I didn't have as much respect for him and what he did. I was living that life, moving around the world. But then he retired and I got to spend more time with him and I realized that, oh, this dude is awesome.
Oh, I mean, he sounds like just a man whose legend precedes him.
He is. You know? It kind of is. I'm not going to lie. Like, my dad is, he's that guy. And I brought, actually, you guys can't see it, but I brought his, he led a peacekeeping mission to Macedonia when we lived in Berlin, and he sent me his book because I realized I didn't have it. And so, yeah, he is the inspiration behind, he's part of the inspiration behind it. He's retired now. They live in Jacksonville, Florida. He lives in Jacksonville, Florida with my mom. My brother, on the other hand, I'm going to try not to cry. My brother is active duty military. He's in the Air Force. He lives in New Mexico and recently came, not recently, but in August, came back from Syria after being deployed for 7 months. And he is, wow, I've talked about somebody who I've bonded with post-college. It's my brother. And my brother and my dad, but I can't say one over the other, but definitely my brother.
It's funny getting older and your family relationships shift, you know?
They totally shift. I didn't see this coming.
Softer, yeah.
Softer. When he got deployed to Syria, when he reached out to me on inauguration last year and said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm being deployed and I have like 2.5 weeks. I was like, do I cry? Do I say, what do I say? He was freshly divorced, you know, with two kids, a set of twins who had moved out of the area. His wife was also military. She, my mom and my brother and his ex-wife were deployed at the same time.
Wow.
My mom had to move to New Mexico for 7 months then. And then, you know, I watched all, I won't go into great detail about that, but I will just say that, like, when he called to tell me that he was being deployed, I was thinking of all the stuff he had just been through just a year prior, year, 2 years prior. And I thought the weight of that, right? And then the current state of our, of the United States and, all the politics behind it, I just was like, this, it got heavy real quick, you know?
Oh my God, yeah.
And so I thought, I got to figure out how I can like lift him up and honor him for his service, not just like this Syria, you know, deployment. Because remember, we weren't there at the time that he was the one. Okay, so I was like, how do I keep this kind of quiet, but then also support him? And then like, how do I continue to support him after, you know, he comes back? What can I do to like lift his spirits as he's going through all this transition? And so when this opportunity came up, I thought, I'm going to do it through the form of sneakers. I know it's materialistic, but I was like, I'm going to do it. I want the world to know just how awesome like my family is and how awesome my brother and my dad are. And then all the other military people in my family, from my, you know, two uncles that were in the military, that were in the army specifically, my cousins, Carmen and Don and, you know, and Byron, like, I have several cousins and beyond that have been active duty across the branches, and this is just a shout out to them.
It's amazing.
I hope so. I hope people enjoy.
Well, I mean, like, I think what's wonderful too, and it's not materialistic, you know. I mean, I think really what it is you were given this like pretty fantastic opportunity, and I think for you to kind of immediately turn and use it as a way to kind of showcase and highlight and honor. I mean, I think that's just so special.
I hope so. I mean, I've decided that the proceeds from this collection, a portion will go to the Purple Heart Foundation, which is an organization, an advocacy organization that supports combat wounded troops. It's the first award, but the oldest award of such. And I'm also going to, I just learned about Veterans on the Rise, which is a local nonprofit here in DC that advocates for homeless vets. Mm. So I felt like it kind of made sense. The intent was not to make loads of money, you know, it wasn't to like live lavishly. I feel like part of my life's work has been service, has been volunteering. My parents, my dad volunteered, again, his life, you know, in the military, my brother as well. My mom has always been an avid volunteer. She was a caseworker with the Red Cross for many years, in addition to, you know, numerous other things. So I feel like service is definitely rooted in my DNA. And so this collection, I felt like it just kind of made sense.
It does. It makes all of the sense. So guys, you can go to sneaker-lab.com/Diane. Again, that's D-I-A-N dash Holton, H-O-L-T-O-N. You can see the shoes. You can read the story. I love it because it really is just, this is dedicated to my, you know, inspired by my military family. But before we cut to break, I want to read this because I love it. This collection is an ode to my military family members who, like so many, sacrifice and serve to protect the United States domestically and abroad. Growing up with an infantry colonel as a dad and several uncles and cousins who also served, it's probably no surprise that I embrace a chain of command, appreciate camouflage prints, and have an affinity for adapting to new environments. The result, a 3-part hyper-focused line to help athletes and fashion mavens achieve success no matter the mission.
And can I also, thank you, but can I also just tell you the one thing, gosh, I feel like I should have said this earlier too. My dad helped me write the content for this.
Oh,
so when I reached out to
Walt on copy,
Big Walt was like, and we had like 3 days where we was mad, like texting, email, phone calls to get the content right. I wanted to make sure the content was right, and I wanted him to be okay with it. I didn't want to segregate any of the forces, any of the branches. I didn't want to segregate by rank either, because that was one thing that I was going to go a different direction. But he okayed the copy. My brother, via Snapchat,
official.
He okayed the shoe designs. So
good. So actually, I do want to talk about the sneakers a little bit more. We're going to do that after the break, though. Sure. I think we should dive into just a little bit of process and, you know, how you chose the colors and design before we sign off on that. And plus, you have a launch event this weekend at Steadfast Supply. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk a little bit about that, too.
Okay.
But for now, we're gonna cut away for just a couple minutes. We've been talking with Diane Holton, sneaker designer and art director, and so many more things. When we come back, we're going to finish up this shoe convo. And then dive into her Daily Digits project and a few other things she's got cooking as well. This is Direct Message with the Creative DC. I'm Morgan West, and we will be right back.
Original music from Kiedo, K-I-E-D-O. We'll be right back on Direct Message.
Hello, welcome back to Direct Message with A Creative DC. We are here in full service radio station at the Line DC with our guest Diane Holton. Before the break, we got all caught up on her Sneaker Lab collaboration, her capsule collection of 3 amazingly designed Nike sneakers that launches tomorrow. And before we sign off on, you know, kind of all things sneakers, I think let's just spend just a couple minutes, like give us the like elevator version of like, what was your process for designing these? Because they're gorgeous. And obviously they're inspired by your military family. So we're looking at a lot of greens and yellows and golds.
Sure. I wanted to, well, first let me say, when I first started, I just looked at everything. I looked at my options. I looked at the shoes to see which ones would resonate. Pick the 3. Like I said, I did a little crowdsourcing just to make sure that was these were the right ones to go with. And I really wanted to own them. I wanted whatever I created to be something that I was very much comfortable with. And then I looked at, once I decided that I wanted to honor my family, I thought it's only natural that you do olive, right? And some sort of green. The issue that I ran into, and man, it's kind of a big one, especially as a designer and somebody who has a mom who is a seamstress, who constantly had fabric and notions and all the good things around the house. What's important is being able to touch and feel it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I didn't have. So once I realized that I wanted to do something military inspired and I wanted to do camouflage, I thought, oh, it would be awesome if I could have, like, if I could actually feel it, if I could actually touch it. And I couldn't. It was a week and a half turnaround.
Yeah, that's so fast.
It's fast. And not only was it a week and a half turnaround for the design, it was a week and a half turnaround for the content as well. Like, I had to write all of that stuff. And I'm not a writer. So that's when you start reaching out to those people who are writers. You know, like I said, my dad. And then I had a friend who is a writer, Scott Kirkwood, who also took a look at the content just to make sure that it was streamlined.
Everything takes a damn village.
Everything. Just so people know, like, nobody does anything on their own.
No.
And I want to make sure that I highlight those people because I feel like this wasn't, it might have been my initial idea and my family was my inspiration. But like I said, my brother okayed the shoes. My dad wrote the content, Scott edited. And then but going back to the shoes and the design, the one thing, in addition to the not having the textures, not having the fabrics in my hand, I also ran into the challenge of all the shoes do not have the same colorway options.
Mm.
So, for instance, the Air Force Ones have gold inside or yellow inside, so to speak. The rest of the shoe is olive, and then it has a gum.
Yeah, I love that gum sole.
The gum sole.
Guys, these are gorgeous shoes. So, again, you can check them out at sneaker-lab/Diane-Holton. They're gorgeous. And I mean, you workshopped your way all around what, you know, may have felt like a limitation at the time, but I mean, these are gorgeous.
Well, you know what the big thing is when coming up with a collection too, is like you have to look at it as a collection holistically. So what I had started doing was doing these one-offs, and then after I did the one-off, I would put it next to the other and say, okay, does this make sense? Is this working? What's the common theme? The common theme you'll see is going to be the olive color and also the gum shoes, all of the gum soles. All of the shoes have a gum sole to them. And then I brought in the black because that was also something that was consistent. The gold and the brush gold, you're going to see in variations. So the back of the Air Force Ones has the gold, the brush gold for the logo.
Beautiful.
And then the actual Air Max have the brush gold throughout the colorway. So when you see them together, it will make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But I realized that I had to do them individually and put them next to each other.
Smart.
And then tweak.
So for all of you who are listening and now are, you know, dying internally to see these shoes because you must be. We keep talking about them. If you're in DC, you do have the opportunity to see them in person. So you are kicking things off. This Saturday
from 2 to 4 at Steadfast Supply. Thank you.
Yes. And Virginia. Steadfast Supply is over at the Yards.
It is.
And it is just an amazing little independently owned and curated.
It is.
Full of independent designers like yourself.
It is.
And just tons of pop-ups. So you're popping up over there.
I'm popping up. And it literally is a preview. So all of the shoes, if you do want a pair of shoes, of sneakers, of kicks, you have to go online to purchase. But I will have a laptop and tablet so people can order. But at least you can see them in person and make your selection.
Yeah.
If you want to buy all three, very happy.
No one's stopping you.
No judgment here. And also, if you want to, I want to shout out Steadfast and the amazing entrepreneurs that are there as well. If you want to get my shoes and get some local goods, by all means,
yes.
I don't think they'll mind. But yes, check us out. 2 to 4, Steadfast. Come all the way to the back. Get there early so you can peruse the front of the store and then come back to me and we can have a chat about the collection, about my dad, Big Walt, or Big Will, or just some of the things that are happening.
I love it. Well, huge congratulations on that. It's just a big deal, man.
Yeah,
congrats.
Thank you.
I strongly encourage everyone to go out because, you know, even if you don't end up walking away with some shoes, which you probably should, you need to know Diane. And I feel like she kind of already you're one of those people who I feel like kind of knows everyone or everyone knows you. But let's talk about some other projects that you have.
Sure.
Daily Digits.
Daily Digits.
We got to talk about this. You just hit 1,000.
I hit 1,000.
So on Instagram, at Diane Holton. Again, that's Diane with no E.
No E.
No E.
But if I have a rest, so on the side note, a couple of years ago, I went to Thailand, and we decided, my friends and I decided that we should open up a restaurant, or I should open up a restaurant, and call it No E. And it's going to be because the E, it's that E that fell off my name. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I don't cook, so I'm going to have to like look for some friends who do. But yes, getting back to Daily Digits. I know, so random. If you know me, you know this is all me.
It's perfect.
Daily Digits started in 2015. It was, I'm thinking back to that first day.
I know, it's hard, right? It's a long-term project.
It was.
For three years, Diane has, it's a visual art project.
It's a visual art project.
Was it an exercise? Is that how it started
was.
Out?
It was a source of inspiration.
Okay.
And I did it in starting in February. I was so used to working, again, an editorial with limitations, right? With page limitations, with aesthetic limitations, and also reporting to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted something that was my own. I wanted something that I was in charge of, that I could determine like if it was going to be big or small or what medium I was going to use. I also moonlight as a Windows display associate.
Again, because of course she does.
just 4 to 9 a.m. in the morning. And I loved working with, loved working with my hands. So I thought, okay, what can I do that is my own, allows me the flexibility to do it when I want. So whether that's like 4 a.m. in the morning or 5 p.m. in the evening, mm-hmm. and something that will just continue to like inspire me. I love found objects, and I thought, oh, you know what? After seeing some other creatives do these month-long projects or these year-long projects, I thought, maybe I should do this. And so I literally found stuff in my house, and every day, or not just in my house, in the spaces that I occupied, and created numbers. And I started with, February 1. I started off with some Rolos. Because if you know me, I love desserts. I love snacks.
Because snacks.
I love them, and chocolate in particular. So I had these Rolos, and I started with the number one, and I remember being in my kitchen and just doing that. And then it just went on. I came to work the next day and did, I think, 2 out of Post-its on the wall, and then turned to the right and looked and saw magazines, and the way they were stacked, they looked like they were forming a 3. And I was like, boom, that's a 3. And it just continued, and it went on. And I got to the end of the month, and I thought I was done. I was feeling very liberated. And then I was like, wait, I'm not done yet. And so I continued and started getting people commenting, saying, oh, this is great. I love that my kids also love it. Mm. There was a mom who said that she uses it to, she views it every day with her kids to help them with their numbers. And so
that's
neat. Cool. And I just continued to evolve. I will say, though, I didn't do it for other people. I did it. This was my own project. It was a way of channeling my creativeness it was another creative outlet for me. And again, something that I could just own.
Absolutely. And it lives on your channel.
It's on my channel.
Yeah.
And so, also, the other challenge was I wanted to challenge myself in doing something completely different. So when you look at the numbers, especially early on, you'll see that every medium is different.
Oh, it's so great. So if you scroll through Diane's Instagram now, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it really is like everything from straw wrappers to she's disassembled a computer charger to make the numbers 992.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite ones, actually, I feel like it was pretty recently, but you may have done it in the past too. There's like toilet paper rolls.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just brilliant the way she's kind of looking around and just grabbing something. I also love what you said about you just needed a project that you could do no matter what time of day is. And I mean, it's so fun to scroll through. So, if you're not already following Diane at Diane Holton, please go through it. Please do it. Scroll through there.
But you know what? If you don't want to look at my Instagram, I have a Tumblr. So
what?
Yeah, the Tumblr is just the digits. It's just It's just daily digits. It's all of them from 1 to 1,000.
What is it? Daily digit. That's
a very good question.
What's your URL, lady?
Tumblr. I think it's just Tumblr/Diane Holton. And that's so sad that I don't know it right off the top. You know what's funny? I actually Google it. I always have to like type my name in and put Tumblr in.
That's
and
hysterical.
Then it pops up. But it does. It has
DianeHolton.tumblr.com.
Is that what
that's
it is?
That's it. Oh, okay. And there's 1,000. So if you go there, it's so good. Congratulations. I mean, like 1,000 of anything is amazing.
It was. I'm telling you, this was fun up until the last 100 days. it was like a certain presidency. It was a struggle. I got to the last 100 days, and I was like, "Whoa, what happened?" It's like I hit a wall.
Wow!
And so I could not find things. Well, part of it was also because I had used up everything that I had been in.
Every item that you owned.
Every item got in. Bras were in there. Tampons were in there. Like you name
it's
it.
So
hairpins
good.
Were in there. Like everything was in there. So I think that's what happened. I got to the last 100 days, and I thought, what am I going to do? And so you'll see like a series of different things.
And I love that. If you just scroll, you don't even have to scroll too far back. But I mean, there's like a really awesome series of paper clips, mm-hmm. right? Where you're mm-hmm. doing, you know, kind of, you know, 6 or 7 numbers. And mm-hmm. that was smart.
Yeah. And you know, the craziest thing happened to get to 1,000. Etsy reached out for something completely different. And
because these are just the kind of emails that Diane gets, by the way.
No, but they reached out. Shout out to Robin Canner. And they asked if I would come up. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna come up and I'll do a presentation with you. But I also wonder, I'm doing the math. And it looks like when I come up, it's going to be the 1,000th day.
Wow.
Would you be interested, some of your staff, like helping me create that one?
Ugh.
Because all the other daily digits had been a solo project. But this time I was going to actually ask other people to help. And so when you go to, if you go to my Instagram and click on the 1,000 daily digit, you and swipe through, you will see some of the people that helped produce that.
Oh, how
and
rad.
I felt like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best. I mean, this project is so Etsy.
It is so Etsy. I can't even handle it.
It was perfect. It was
what a perfect. So are you
pausing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you done?
Nope. I don't know what the next step looks like, but okay. I know I'm pausing. I know that it's not. It's
take
not
a moment.
I'm taking a moment.
Take a single moment.
Absolutely. I do hope to do a couple of things with it, though, at least up to 1,000. And that is, I do want to do an exhibit at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm actually in it talks of doing that. Right. And then I also want to have, I do want to merchandise it, parts of it. And my goal has always been to do a calendar. So
I love that.
Just takes time.
All right. Well, put me on your list. I will buy your calendar.
Yay!
Or whatever else. Put on a tote bag. We were having a tote bag talk before we
got. Oh my gosh. I love tote bags.
I'll take like the toilet paper 961.
But you liked 333. No, 133. 133 was on pink. This is so sad. I remember this.
You know,
133 is hot pink background with bobby pins.
Yeah.
That's what I remember early on.
I love that.
And I was like, okay, note to self. Morgan likes this one.
Well, so I think it's kind of like at any given moment you could look down on my bedroom floor and there's like bobby pin spelling out like SOS.
Well,
on accident.
I might have that too. Yeah. On accident?
On accident, just because that's what my life looks like.
I'm right there with you, girl.
This is so good. So I want to like, I would like to continue to talk to you for like another 6 to 7 hours. but I think we do kind of have to start wrapping up. So sure. I want to make sure that like we talk, because you have one other kind of like large project on the horizon. I know you probably have like 7 or 8 in your back pocket, but let's really quickly just talk about this Chicago museum situation.
Yep.
What's coming up?
So I was asked to participate in their Great Humanities exhibit, which is in April, I believe. And my role in that is to design a poster around one of the quotes that they sent me. So my quote is, art is a community matter.
Perfect for you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. The last couple of days have been a real struggle.
Are you climbing uphill?
I am. Right now? I am. I got hung up on the word community and I was trying to think editorially. And then I also was thinking, what can I do that's my own? Like I'm used to commissioning artists, illustrators, you name it, to do projects for something I'm working on. again, it's another one of those where I want to own this. I don't want to have somebody else in it. So with Daily Digits, it was, you know, I crafted all of that on my iPhone mainly. I want this to be the same thing. I want this to something to be the, something I created. I could easily reach out to, you know, somebody who does animation, or not animation, but does digital work, and have them render the idea. But I want to do it my own. I'll do it on my own. So that's what I've been struggling with the past couple of days. But in the next 2 days, it will be over. I'm going to commit to. I'm going to stick an idea, and I'm going to wrap it up and then send it off to
them.
You're
going to do great.
So, well, we'll see. So this is still Chicago. I don't have the details for that. I don't have all the details of the exhibit, but I will say that I do know that it's coming out in April. So
April
at
the Chicago Design Museum.
Chicago Design Museum.
So amazing. You're so amazing.
Well, thanks. I couldn't be amazing without the people here in the community and abroad. People like Nicole Crowder.
Yes.
Hadia Williams, who I'm working on a collaboration with them. So stay tuned for that in June. And then also there's a printer that I'm working with. The ink hasn't dried yet. Stay tuned for that.
We will absolutely stay tuned. So if we want to stay tuned, we can follow you on social at Diane Holton. You're on IG. You're on Twitter. You're great at both. You're great at both those channels. And immediately, if you need these sneakers in your life, and I think you probably do, we'll be posting a photo later on the Creative DC Instagram. But again, just to, I'm gonna hit that URL one more time. It's sneaker-lab/Diane-Holton. So Diane, thank you so much for coming
on
today. I gotta say this. Usually we end by asking every guest for like a suggestion or a tip or something about their DC that they wish people knew. You know what I wish people knew? I'm going to take this. I'm going to be selfish and answer this today. I wish people knew about Diane Holton. I think most of them do, but I just think you're just like this amazing example of like somebody in Washington, D.C. who is just like doing the most with like what is around them. And, you know, I think you just come at it from such an incredible community angle. So it's like even when you're like, oh, I got to do this one myself, it's like you're still totally giving credit to the people around you. And it's just,
man, you have to. Like, I cannot, there's no way I could do what I do without a lot of people. You know, there's so many people that I'm not even thanking. Nicole Billups, my best friend from who worked at USA Today, is a publicist. Like, you know, mad props to her. Like, there's so many people, and Tina and Liz and AIGA. And I mean, there's so many people. I cannot not sit here and not highlight some of them for the work that they have done for me, but also the work that they continue to do. You know, it's so important to highlight them. There's room for everybody.
Yes. All right. You did it anyways. Everyone take a page from Diane Holden's book. I love that. There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody in this city.
Absolutely.
There's room for everybody in this community.
And if there's one thing I could say also is people should pledge to do better and be better. I think that's something that goes across the board, no matter who you are and where you are in the world. So
thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming today. This was so good. You've got just so much going on. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, thanks for making time. And to all of you out there, thank you so much for listening. That's it for today. You can expect direct message weekly. We will be back next week with more from A Creative DC. Wednesdays, 1 p.m. We're live on fullserviceradio.org. You can catch us anytime at that exact same website. We're tripping up on my way out, Diane. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at A Creative DC, online at acreativedc.com. This project would not exist without perspective outside of our own. We want to make sure we thank everyone for that every single week, because we are so grateful to be able to take these weekly dives into the A Creative DC hashtag feed. Big thanks to our friends and partners at Full Service Radio. You can follow along with them at fullserviceradio.org, at Full Service Radio on Instagram, and at Full Service RDO on Twitter. Till next week, I'm Morgan West, and this has been Direct Message with A Creative DC. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.